The message that the Lord put on my heart this morning is entitled, The Choice of Pontius Pilate. What was the hardest choice you ever made? The man Pontius Pilate had a tough choice. He had to choose whether or not to kill God. He had to answer his own question in Matthew 27:22. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Try to imagine yourself sitting in that judgment seat. Try to imagine yourself there. What would you have done? Would you have made a different choice? We want to look at seven aspects about the choice of Pontius Pilate. First of all, the choice was thrust upon him. Before time began, God had ordained that Pontius Pilate would be where he was and that Christ would be standing directly in front of him. This was not an accident. This was not a coincidence. This was a planned event in God's chain of events. That Friday morning at 5 o'clock, as they led Christ to the praetorium, the governor's residence, the place of judgment, the place, this time, and this man, Pontius Pilate, had all been set before creation. It had been preordained that Christ would be square in front of Pontius Pilate's path. Preordained that Pontius Pilate would have to make a choice. God had planned him to take power in AD 26. God had planned that the Jewish leaders would take Jesus to Pilate. God had planned that he would have to make a choice. And so Pilate finds squarely in front of him the God-man, Jesus Christ. The decision is thrust upon him. Secondly, we see the choice is about the nature of truth. On the surface, this seems like a trial about a man who's being accused of being a revolutionary. But yet, look how Jesus positions himself in John 18, in verse 37 and 38. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. But then Jesus says, To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I would bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then Pilate says, What is truth? This seems like a strange thing to say at a trial, doesn't it? Jesus is saying, I am truth. Truth comes out of my mouth. What a strange conversation in the midst of a sedition trial. Yet here, this is how Jesus Christ chose to position himself in front of Pontius Pilate. For Pilate, the whole trial now revolves around this aspect, whether Christ is truth. And Pilate knew that only God claimed to be truth. His choice is about truth. His choice is about, is Jesus really God? And an indication of the struggle within Pilate is in John chapter 19, where the scribes and Pharisees said that they brought Jesus into Pilate because he made himself the Son of God. And in John 19, it says, when Pilate heard this, he was the more afraid. His choice is Jesus really who he said he is? And as we see this trial move on, it's like a giant life-size chess match. We see that Jesus moves himself in front of Pilate. And he positions himself as truth. And he forces Pilate to make a decision. And Pilate schemes to move Jesus out of his way. And Jesus keeps moving himself in front of Pilate. And he continually has to make a decision about Jesus Christ. Should he crucify Christ? Thirdly, we see the choice was complicated. There are at least three physical forces pulling at Pilate, trying to influence him. First of all, the scribes and Pharisees. And as we read this, as Brother Jim read this, we saw the pull of the scribes and the Pharisees. Pilate's job was to keep the scribes and Pharisees happy. And he had not been very good at that in the past. At least three different times, he had done really stupid stuff that had made him very mad. I mean, one time he had his soldiers carry ensigns into Jerusalem that carried the likeness of Caesar. And they were very much offended at that. Another time he had taken money from the temple treasury. I mean, that really made him mad. And then a third misstep had been made known to Caesar. And Pilate was now afraid that he was going to lose his job. So the scribes and Pharisees had a lot of influence on him. The second force upon pulling on Pilate was Caesar himself. Caesar was his big, big boss. He had so much control over Pilate. He knew if Caesar said the word, Pilate would be out of a job, or he could even lose his life. And so throughout this whole trial, Caesar is hanging over Pilate. He feels his influence. The third physical presence pulling at Pilate was his wife. In the middle, the very middle of this trial, she sent a message. And this is a strange verse. I'm sure you called it as we read it. She sent a message telling him to release this innocent man. She had had a dream about Jesus. And Pilate was being pulled in his choice. It was a complicated decision. Others were trying to influence him. This is how I picture Pilate, kind of like an octopus. You know, not how an octopus has eight different tentacles. It seems that all eight tentacles of Pilate were being pulled. And they were being pulled in different directions. The scribes and Pharisees were pulling him. Caesar had influence over him. His wife was pulling him. But most of all, and you can see this so clearly, his conscience was pulling him. Five times he publicly asserted that Jesus Christ is not guilty of death. His conscience was pulling him very strongly to choose to release Jesus. It was a complicated decision. He was being pulled every way. But yet it was his choice. He had a free will. Christ still was in his path. For all the influences, it would be his decision that he would be accountable for. Fourthly, we see he chose to deflect the choice. John 18, verse 31. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. You see, he tried to deflect Christ to the Jews. He tried to pass on Christ to the Jews. You make the decision about Christ. Use your law. And they refused to make the decision. Later we see he tried to hand Jesus Christ off to King Herod. In Luke 23, verse 7, and as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Oh, you belong in Herod's jurisdiction. You go to him. Let Herod make the decision. But Herod, we find, sent him back without publicly pronouncing him innocent or guilty. And now we see, once again, Jesus is squarely in Pilate's path. I know when I was younger, maybe you did this too, we played hot potato. How many of you ever played hot potato? How many of you younger ones played hot potato? Well, we need to teach them some things. When you play hot potato, you sit in a circle and you pass some kind of object around and there's music playing. And when the music stops, if you're caught with this object in your hand, you're out. With Pilate, Jesus was a hot potato. He didn't want to be caught with Jesus Christ in his hands. He had to pass him on. He continually tried to deflect Christ. But we see that Christ always moved back in his path. Christ, the rock, was firm. What was preordained, that Pilate would make a decision about him, had to come to pass, and nothing would change it. He had to choose to either accept Christ as truth or say he was a liar. He could not deflect the decision. Matthew 27, 22. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? He chose to try to deflect his decision on Christ. Fifthly, we see he chose to compromise with Christ. Like we said, he knew Christ was innocent. Five times he had publicly declared that he was innocent. In Luke, it even says that he argued with the scribes and the Pharisees that Christ was innocent. But on the other hand, he knew it would be political suicide to simply release Jesus as being innocent. There would have been a riot, and Caesar doesn't like riots. So he then did something with Christ that I hope none of us would do. He compromised with Christ. He tried to find a way to release Christ and please his conscience, but yet please the crowd. It was a plan of compromise. At the Passover, they always release one prisoner. It was really just a public relations stunt designed to gain favor. He decided he would offer to them, I'll release either Barabbas or Christ. He was sure the common people would choose Christ. And then he would have Christ whipped as a criminal and released as a criminal. The Pharisees would be appeased because the people chose Christ's release. At least they would be appeased in the sense that they could not blame Pilate. But also, his conscience would be pleased because he didn't kill this innocent man. The art of compromise. It's kind of like a person who has a desire to lose weight, but they also desire good food. So they order salad for lunch, along with a big piece of cheesecake for dessert. And they think that the salad will fulfill their diet, and they think the cheesecake will fulfill their desires, their appetite. They compromise, you know, and their diet is not satisfied, and their appetite is not satisfied. You see, Pilate's plan of conscience, of compromise, would not have worked even if they would have asked for Christ. He should have listened to his conscience. He should have listened to Christ, who claimed to be truth. How could he compromise? This compromise would mean he had to release Christ as a criminal. It means he would have had to scourge him. He would have had to whip Christ as a criminal and then have him released. How could he do this to an innocent man? He tried to have his salad and his cheesecake also. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? He chose to compromise with Christ. Sixthly, he chose to ignore advice of others. As we said, Matthew 27, 19 is a strange verse. When he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things. Notice the word, many things this day in a dream because of him. Now all this came about, he had made the offer to them about Barabbas or Christ. Right after he made that offer about who they wanted him to release, that's when the messenger came in with his wife's message. And the message said, stop! Release Jesus! He's innocent! I dreamed about him, and it still haunts me throughout the day. The word suffered, I looked up the word suffered, and it means to have experiences or impressions that are painful, that hurt. You see, I believe her dream revealed to her the innocence of Christ. Her dream revealed the enormity of crucifying him. Her dream revealed the consequences on their life. Pilate, listen to me, let this man go. Pilate chose to ignore the device. Soon he was working again on his plan of compromise. Matthew 27:22. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Pilate chose to ignore advice about Christ. There are many other choices of Pilate we could look at. How he chose in the end to blame others for his decision. He tried to wash his hands of the decision. He tried to blame the scribes and Pharisees. It's your fault that I have to crucify him. It's not my fault. It's your fault. I'm going to have him crucified, but it's your fault. I wash my hands from this. But yet God held him accountable. He also chose to talk the talk, but not walk the walk. Over and over, he talked about Christ's innocence. Yet his final actions did not match his words. And there were other choices he made. But the one that stands out most of all, this is it. Seventhly, he chose to stand up for himself instead of standing up for Christ. Pilate knew his decision, his choice had dire ramifications. In his human vision, he saw the consequences of standing up for Christ. He saw that a rebellion would be started among the scribes and Pharisees. He knew that. He was politically savvy. He saw that this word would get back to Caesar. He knew that he would lose his position as governor if he released Christ. His job was very much on the line. His home was on the line. The governor's palace, his fame, his wealth would all be lost down the drain if he stood up for Christ. That is why, in the end, in answer to his question in Matthew 27:22, he said, crucify him. Pilate was a strong man. He could resist much opposition, but the pull of self he could not resist. He weighed on one hand his job, his mansion, his innocence. He weighed on the other hand killing an innocent man. He paused. He contemplated. He compromised. He deflected. But in the end, self will won. Crucify him. Christ had been put squarely in front of him. Preordained of old, the moment had come for him to either say, release him or crucify him. He said, crucify him. And you might ask, well, what were the results of Pilate choosing to stand up for self instead of standing up for Christ? Well, it wasn't long after this, he still lost his job because of another stupid thing he done in AD 36. History tells us he was banished to Vienne in Gaul. He lost his home, he lost the governor's mansion, his wealth, he lost his power, his fame. According to tradition, it was in Gaul that he finally, like Judas, committed suicide. His wife's nightmare had come true. And what is really awesome, not awesome, but really something to think about is the knowledge that some 2,000 years have passed and Pontius Pilate is still thinking about that wrong choice he made. He's still thinking about the wrong choice he made some 2,000 years later. You see, standing up for self, it always seems good from a human perspective. From our human eyes, standing up for self always seems right. But when we look through spiritual eyes, we can see that only in Christ is true joy in any circumstance. Only in Christ is there true spiritual wealth. Only in Christ is there eternal life and anything that is worth it. It's only in Jesus Christ and standing up for Him. It's all about the moment when we make the choice about Christ. Is He truth? Is He a liar? Release Him. Crucify Him. In application, early on I asked you to imagine what it would be like to have Jesus standing before you and having to make a decision. The reality is, talking about reality, He is standing squarely in front of each of us. Preordained of old was that each of us would have to make a choice about Christ. Is He truth? If yes, then His word must be trusted. Is He truth? If yes, then we must die to self. Is He a liar? If yes, then we too can say crucify Him. This decision is thrust upon each of us. There is no getting around it. It was preordained of old. Matthew 27:22. Pilate said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" What answer will you give to that question? I felt led of the Holy Spirit to ask you a couple questions. First question, are you trying to deflect Christ? You feel convicted about Christ. You feel convicted that His word is truth. You can feel convicted that there are certain areas you are not obeying Him in. Do you try to put off Christ? Do you try to deflect Him? Do you treat His word like a hot potato? You don't want to keep it in front of you. Are there areas of His word you want to pass on? Now is the time. Obedience. Question number two. Are you trying to compromise Christ? Well, I'll please God in some things. I'll please God in some things. I'll please the world in some things. I'll give a little here. I'll take a little there. I mean, my friends will riot if they see me on fire for the Lord. Are you ashamed to proclaim Him as truth? To truly live for Him, to give to Him, to sacrifice yourself with Him, to be crucified with Him. Is your life a wishy-washy compromise that is no more satisfying than a salad and a cheesecake? Aren't you tired of trying to please everyone and pleasing no one? 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah said unto all the people, he said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." Will you choose to follow Christ without compromise? Question number three. Are you willing to die to self and stand up for Christ? Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." On one hand, you have been weighing out the consequences of following Christ. You see friendships lost. You see many changes you have to make. You see some struggles and you see some discouragements. And you see all the desires that you will have to throw off. On the other hand, you see the consequences of not following Christ. You can see yourselves living it up, having fun in the flesh. You feel the pull of self. It's like, you know, you were that octopus with all eight tentacles Self is pulling you to choose not to stand up for Christ. Brothers and sisters, look with spiritual eyes. See the dire consequences of refusing Christ. See the bondage of sin. See the lack of joy. See the eternity spent in hell thinking about our wrong decision and wrong choice. The final thought and question: are you crucifying Christ? Hebrews 6, 4-6. For it is impossible for those who once were enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the word to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. Hebrews 10, 36, 26. For if we sin willfully, notice the word willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall it be thought worthy, who have trodden under foot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherein with he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When you continually deny him or his word, you are saying, Pilate made the right choice. You are joining in the course to crucify him. When we continually deflect Christ, we are saying, crucify him. When we continually compromise Christ, we are saying, crucify him. When we continually put self before Christ, we are saying, crucify him. When we want to talk the talk, but don't walk the walk, we are saying, crucify him. Don't crucify Christ. Don't put him to open shame. Acknowledge he is Christ and Lord of Lords and King of Kings. A.W. Tozer, speaking of Pilate and Judas and the scribes, said, oh, they were guilty, certainly, but they were our accomplices in crime. They and we put him on the cross, not they alone. That rising malice and anger that burns so hotly in your being today, put him there. The evil, the hatred, the suspicion, the jealousy, the lying tongue, the carnality, the fleshly love of pleasure, all of these in natural man, join in putting him on the cross. Unquote. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is Christ? The real question is, what will you do with Jesus, who is called Christ? It's your choice. He stands in front of you this morning, begging, concerned, waiting for your choice.